Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I wasn't prepared to speak, but I appreciate the invitation. And just in the moment while I'm speaking, something comes to mind that maybe I could bring and share to everyone here. As recent, you know, we've been traveling a lot, and we're running up on a lot of family and friends and other people in the community, different times, different things going on. And you'll meet other children of God, you know who they are. You'll see the love of their heart. You'll see them. The evidence has come forward. The Holy Spirit has touched these people. And then you'll end up in conversations, and you'll share because you want to share the glory of God and God's sovereignty as things go. I mean, any conversation, you always want to just bring it back to God. And every so often, you'll hear what we'll call brothers and sisters of other camps, denominations, maybe familiar theologies, or some that are just kind of, you know, not connected with biblical truth. But they're children of God, and they're trying as they best know. They're putting it out there. And you'll hear things like what I heard recently in a conversation I had with we'll call my brother. And he used the expression, when Christ came, he died for the sins of all humanity. And we would understand that that is not accurate, because God speaks of coming for his church, his elect, his bride, his people, his chosen, those he predestined before the foundation of the world. So it's a specific group, however innumerable. We better not be too ever quick to point a finger to say that would not be an included person, a member. But what I shared back with this brother was, you know, having reflected upon his comment, and I said, well, when you said that, that sounds like Christ failed. Because if you say he died for all of humanity, in that sense, in the generic sense, then he speaks of those that will be separated. And it says in Matthew 10:10, you know, those that I did not know, I will cast into the lake of fire. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And he'll separate the sheep from the goat. I'm paraphrasing a lot of scripture here. But if he did come to die for all of humanity, then he is not sovereign. Because if there are those in their thinking that Christ wishes to have, and they don't accept him, then he was defeated. Now, we don't accept that. That's not true. God is sovereign. He came for his people. He died to pay the sin propitiation required for a perfect justice, because we can't do it. We're corrupt in our nature. We can't offer a perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was sovereign. He died. He completed his objective in its entirety for all those past, present, and future. So if anyone says, well, you have to accept, that's not true. It's by grace. And if it's not by grace, then it's by works, as we just read in Matthew in the studies. We all know this well. It's only by grace, because a dead man cannot get himself off the road. And it says, before you regenerate in the spirit, you are dead in trespasses and sin. So what can a dead man do for himself? Call upon the Lord? Call an ambulance? Call a doctor? Call a friend? Nothing. He's dead. He's corruptible and rotting. Until the Spirit of God is breathed into somebody, that's when they're regenerated. So when you share with these brothers and sisters that might have that theology that, you know, the concept of Jesus is knocking, and I remember seeing this at a funeral home. They gave out the fans, and they had on the pit, it was a pretty nice pictorial, and they had a cutaway view of Jesus knocking on the door, and there was this little child on the other side of the door, and it says, Jesus is knocking, will you accept? And, you know, the cutaway was this child reaching up like he's going for the door, he or she, little girl, whatever, little boy, maybe a couple of kids, whatever, young people. Will they make that decision? And I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of like pushing a salesman off the porch. If you say, I won't have it, depart from me, you've just defeated that salesman in his objective to sell you on what he's bringing, salvation. But Christ is not a salesman. God is sovereign. Christ is God made man, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. Christ came as God made, God made manifest to us, and he delivered the sin penalty in payment for us. So when somebody says, well, you know, Christ died on the cross for all of humanity, that's not so. You have to be gentle to share back to these brothers and sisters that this is not the case, because that would defeat God's sovereignty. If one was to reject it, he could not be sovereign. That human could have defeated the Creator. And that's not true. So what we share is, well, if you're feeling God in your heart over this, he's already done that. That's proven in you. It wasn't your choice. Much like your gender, your genetics, your DNA codes from whatever parents you're bringing it in, you were subject to it. It befell you. Good or bad, in the secular sense. Maybe you were born taller, smarter, shorter, handicapped physically, whatever. But it befell you. And being a child of God befell us, but it was by grace. It's only that way. So what we would do is say thank you that we had a God that found a people, or, you know, created a people, and he found us to be in his grace, not worthy. He didn't find us worthy, because none of us are worthy. We just say thank you. Many of us were born in this country. Many of my family weren't. But we were grateful that they got here, and we were born under this, you know, passport. You know, we were protected by a constitution and a body of laws and in a country that had fresh water. I mean, we were born into it, and I had nothing to do with that. It was just circumstances. And I think our salvation is kind of, should be looked at like that. Somebody found favor to have brought us any of this. So, but we thank our Lord for that. And I guess what I'm trying to maybe conclude to say, we need to proceed gently with people that don't maybe understand the sovereignty of God as they speak it. God, you believe God is the creator? Yeah. Do you think he's the authority? Yeah. Do you think he's got his hand on the wheel? Oh, yeah. That's why you got to choose to be with him. You know, that's why you got to take it up. And it's like, no. If he wants us, do you think he wants us? Oh, he wants everyone saved. In that comment, if he is sovereign, then everyone would be saved. Just understand. Again, it goes back to grace and saying thank you. That's where we should start the conversation. Just say thank you that we've got a God that found grace in our people. But understand, I think we can respectfully and responsibly serve back. God is still the authority. Maybe not let them close on that comment. That's why it's up to you to take it. And it's also not that God did it hoping that we would take it. You know, I think in reverence to our Creator, we should just respond with the comment, no, it was not up to us to accept anything. And this brother and I, we talked about it quickly, and he kind of got where I was coming from, and he kind of rolled back on it. But again, I'm not sure he fully received that, you know, we're on the same page with God's authority, in short. Because he'll speak of God's authority, he'll speak of it's all by grace, and that, you know, but going back to Christ died for all humanity, we would be honorable, I think, to say, if he did, then he failed, because we would recognize there are people that are not of God, and that's just in reverence to God. However, we're not to judge anyone to say that they're not. We'll see God in people's hearts. We'll see people in different camps. Even the Indians, the old TV westerns they used to talk about, you'd see the Indians on TV portrayed, and they'd say, oh, the Great Spirit. Well, they knew there was a creator. They knew there was something driving, you know, the existence of life. They didn't have the theology figured out. Now, were these people doing good and or bad works? Absolutely, like everybody else, like every other tribe on this planet, the European tribes, the Asian tribes, the American tribes, yeah, your Eurasian tribes, all these different peoples, us, humanity, we all do good and bad. I mean, we'll see it evidenced throughout. But is there a creator? I think most people feel it, and that's the person that you know is a child of God. So that being said, proceed with love if you share anything. When I say you, I speak of myself. We should proceed with love if we share any conversations. And be tempered, even if it gets a little frustrating, when people maybe roll back, but it's up to you to choose, and they'll say things like, it's like, well, then we're not talking about grace. You speak of grace, but then it's up to you to choose. Then it's not a grace, it's a works. And putting somebody into a choice position, theology, I was talking to Ada about this, my wife, that creates a contractual position for God. If somebody says it's up to you to accept the Lord, Well, if that's the case, if you accept the Lord, if it's conditional, if I accept the Lord, then he's contractually obligated to me. Now he's in a submissive position to serve it. Right? If I put a down payment on a property, and I sign the contract, and I, you know, bring it in, and I maybe, you know, then now somebody's in a position to bring it back to me. Now they're submissive to my position. God is not submissive to us. So we don't accept on terms. It's just we're under the grace. We're washed in the blood of Christ, by way of the blood of Christ. It is figurative now, but it was literal on the cross. You know, and it was made manifest for humanity to document and carry it out. Carry those truths forward. So all that being said, I hope some of this served some edification. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I was not aware that I was going to be asked, so thank you for that. But if I could maybe just ask that we all join in prayer and give thanks for this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for bringing us together in a place of peace where we could have this freedom at hand, where we could actually have your word shared, and we just ask that your spirit abound and endow all of us as we go forward. Many of us have many spoken unmentioned prayers, or unspoken prayers that are in our hearts and our minds that for whatever reasons maybe have not been expressed, but we just ask that you would carry your mercy and grace onto those, and for all right reasons we would just always be evidence of your glory to us, Father. We thank you once again for the privilege and the blessing to be in such a society as we have now. We pray that these days stay with us always. Even though times are changing, we understand. Let us always know that you are faithful to us. You have always been faithful to your people. You've always kept us under a blessing, no matter how trying it may be. And our secular circumstances, Father, we know you have always been faithful to provide for your people. And for this, we humbly ask that you accept our prayers and thanks. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.